Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a brand new episode of The Wrap right here on the Fight Game Media Network. Happy Monday to you all as we begin a brand new week in WWE, as we are 3 weeks away until the biggest WrestleMania of all time, WrestleMania 40 XL, going down live in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. I'm Keela Cash, and by my side, as always, is my co-captain, my right-handy, sometimes advocate for the rapidly improving Von Wagner. I bring to you back on The Wrap, as always, on the free feed, Salty Scott Young. Welcome back, Salty.
Thank you for having me, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. I'm excited about the conversation. We're going to hit a lot of different topics. We're going to talk about some crying. We're going to talk about some singing. And we're just going to talk about the lowly NXT. But we're going to have a great conversation.
Yes, we are. It's going to run the gamut. And you said very sad NXT, and that is not a lie, because my goodness, it's dreary, I must say. But we'll get to that momentarily. But let's get to the topic of discussion that we talked about last week on the show on a very special Tuesday drop of The Wrap. And that Scott was very braggy about the fact that his Lakers were going to beat my Golden State Warriors in LA. And there's about a minute left as we're recording this episode, and the Warriors are leading by 9 points. We have a broken stop clock. They're doing it old-fashioned style, using probably a stopwatch to keep track of the time left on the clock. And the Warriors are about to win. And Scott is in a very salty mood.
Yeah, it sucks. No AD, you know, they couldn't get enough stops. The offense is there. It's never the problem with the offense. It's always the defense. So we got to figure it out, man. We got to figure out what to do about this defensive problem we got going on.
Yes, it is not good right now, and this is a glimpse, a window, because this would be a 9-10 matchup in the play-in next month, and if it was an actual play-in game, the Warriors would win.
Yeah, I do still feel very confident about us healthy, you know, but getting healthy is a whole different story. But Vanderbilt would be a huge help rebounding-wise. I mean, AD's obviously AD. Defensively, that changes everything. But, you know, when Reeves shoots 3 for 12 and Rui's just a body out there, second best player is, you know, Prince, who shouldn't even be playing that much, there's your problem.
Serious problem. And the game is final after many stop clock violations of its own clock. The Lakers have lost this game. And LeBron put up a season high, tied the season high, 40 points, 8 rebounds, 9 assists, but it was not enough to get the Lakers the dub as the Warriors are trying to claw their way into a better positioning for the play-in or something else, because the West is very tight and the top six, it fluctuates literally week to week.
I still feel very confident in my pick about being the sixth seed. I still think we get there. I think at the least we get to the seventh seed. I think once we get healthy, we're going to get rolling. This LeBron that we got tonight, I think this is what we get going forward. AD's just got to pick up his way when he comes back. But I'm still confident in us getting to that sixth, seventh seed.
It's possible. Right now, the top six teams in the West are the Nuggets, the Thunder, the Timberwolves, the Clippers, the Pelicans, and the Kings have slid in the sixth spot. Suns in the seventh spot. Mavericks in the eighth spot. Ninth are the Lakers, followed by the Warriors, who won tonight as the Lakers are 6-4 in their last 10, and the Warriors are an even 5-5, right at 500. And there is mobility with games left to possibly sneak in the eighth spot. The Suns, we'll see about it. It's possible, but we shall see.
Yeah, this is that time of year. It's a great time, so I'm excited about that, but I'm pissed off about tonight. So that'll be great ammunition for the show.
Well, I love it when you're angry about your Lakers losing. Gives me fuel because I was right and you're wrong.
Doesn't happen often, but it does happen. This is proof that it does happen. Besides WWE match picks, I'm usually pretty good on my predictions. But on tonight, I'm eating all types of crow cooked in all different ways.
Fried, air fried, you know, it's marinated in hot sauce. Got some humble pie for you too, as well. And a tall, nice glass of milk just to wash it all down.
I do have a glass of milk in front of me. So got some Oreos as well. So I'll be dipping those. So good call.
All right. Well, enough roasting you. I think that you have deserved a break for right now. As we get into a very interesting story that broke in the last day or so, in that we got a very unique collaboration heading into WrestleMania season, and it's going to be Bloodsport and WWE. And it's a deal between Josh Barnett and Paul Levesque, and we're sending WWE talent from NXT, the main roster, to Bloodsport in Philadelphia for WrestleMania weekend. And Shayna Baszler is already on the list of competitors to compete. This will not be a, well, you can appear and you won't be on the pay-per-view, so to speak. This will be televised for the world to see, a true collaboration with an indie promotion and WWE during WrestleMania weekend, the most lucrative time, the busiest time, when everybody is in one area at one time for one weekend. And I think it's a pretty cool deal that is happening during this time of year, especially of those who are not able to be a part of WrestleMania, because despite everyone's best efforts, everyone cannot be physically on the WrestleMania card.
Yeah, I think it's a really cool thing. I think this is one of those moves. This is one of those things that you see that really solidifies, at least to me, that, you know, there's a new regime, you know, running things. There's a new regime with new ideas. We've talked about some of the video packages, just kind of the graphics that they use, the match graphics, people walking into the arena at the beginning of the shows and stuff like that. This is another little another step in the right direction. You know, one thing that I think, you know, AEW does real well, Tony Khan, is he does spread guys and girls out. You know, they're all over the place. Nyla Rose, she's not on TV right now. Oh, she's not. She's on Ring of Honor. She's not. She ain't on cable. Let me put it that way. At least on the legal cable. But she's coming to a local indie show not too far from here at VCW. Which is, I think, out of Norfolk, Virginia. So, that's one thing that I think he does real well when he's not using talent. He makes sure that, or I don't know if he does, but they're doing their own thing. So this is cool. And Shayna Baszler, she fits perfectly. Like, this is a seamless fit right here. She can go and just just go and break limbs and be violent and be vicious and just go back to her roots legitimately and be the Shayna Baszler from NXT, the Queen of Spades. So I think this is great. I just find it very unfortunate that there's been some backlash to it, which I think is just kind of very interesting.
Dive into that a bit, because I haven't seen the backlash, but what have you seen?
Just a lot of, you know, whether it's, you know, we got Shayna Baszler, you know, we're getting people who are not on the show. And to me, it's like, you know, this is a big name. And then you got the people who are like, oh, now, you know, anybody who likes WWE is all of a sudden going to be a GCW fan. And my mindset is, this is what you want. Like, you've talked about, and rightfully so, for so long, WWE having this monopoly and always trying to crush the little guy and destroy the little guy. Well, so now they're sending people, you know, they're like, well, you're not going to be on the card, so go do this. This would be cool. This could spread the wealth. And now people are like, oh, now people, you know, WWE fans act like they know what GCW is and all this stuff and wait till they see this show. But you want people to venture out and see different wrestlers and different styles. Some people like that the real hardcore Smash Mouth style. And that's what you're going to get. You're going to get a real violent show right there. I've checked out a couple just because of certain wrestlers showing up on it. Top Dollar. He got me to check it out. So this is what you want. Like, you want a wrestler with appeal, with a mass appeal, to go to these shows, because then it gets more eyeballs on this show. So then more people are checking that out. So then there are other wrestlers. So then they see a guy like Top Dollar or Joey Janela. And let me tell you, the Joey Janela that's on those shows is infinitely better than the Joey Janela I ever saw on TV. Like, he's... him in person is incredible. I went to an indie show they had down here, Big Time Wrestling. It was him and Gangrel versus the Hardy Boys. This is before Jeff decided to just break his back on national television week after week so he could still do a couple moves for us. But he was great. He was the movement in the entire match. He was engaging with the crowd. So I just don't understand the backlash to this. And you know, I've seen it a good amount, and I find it very surprising that more people aren't embracing this as, this is cool. Let's see what happens. Let's see what comes of this. And it's supposed to be more than one wrestler. So I just find it baffling that more people aren't excited about the prospect of more people seeing a smaller promotion in all of their glory and what's going to be their biggest show of the year.
And it's during WrestleMania weekend that everybody piggybacks off of. That is the one weekend of the year. You have multiple promotions converge in the same city as WrestleMania, and they're putting on these super cards and they're making a lot of money. And you have WWE, who would normally push out the little guy and say, get the hell out of our territory, but they're actually embracing it this year. And I think that's something that a lot of people have been hoping for, that, of course, WWE is big, they're mighty, and they're not going anywhere. They're lucrative. They're not going to lose their number one standing, if ever, at this point. And that's okay. But it's perfectly fine for them to collaborate with different promotions during WrestleMania weekend. Let me say that again. During WrestleMania weekend, this is the biggest weekend for professional wrestling in the world, and you have all of these promotions, you have all of these conventions, you have all of these fans converging in one city, and they're having all of these events and activities, and WWE is not shunning a promotion. They're actually having their talent on set show, and it's not going to be blacked out. It's going to be available for people to see on pay-per-view. That is a big step for WWE, and it's really attributed to all of the rotted fish that was there. You know who the main rotted fish was. And of course, there's still people that's got to go. But in terms of the infrastructure of trying to collaborate, that has improved a bit. I would love to see more of it in the next year or so, because anything is possible. And for this to happen during WrestleMania weekend, to me, that is the biggest story, because this is their weekend. This is WrestleMania 40. And WWE is opting to collaborate with Bloodsport, which is a pretty big deal that should not be understated.
And I think it's smart by WWE, because, you know, it's just, it's another avenue to get your name out there. Like when Shayna Baszler shows up, it's WWE Shayna Baszler, you know, and there's going to be a monster ovation for her, because you don't get stuff like that. Like this is something you don't see, and nobody could have predicted that this would happen, especially at a GCW show. Like I will say there will be some fans. There might be a couple kids who are going to be like, parents tuning in with their kids, like, yeah, might not be watching this show, son. We might just have to save it for WrestleMania. You can check the highlights out on YouTube. I know you do that anyway. So it might be one of those, but this, I love the idea that this is a possibility now. Like this is opening the door. You know, this is WWE's, you know, forbidden door per se. You know, nobody thought this would happen. And I think it's pretty, pretty cool that they're doing this. Like you said, and I think it's what you said about it being WrestleMania weekend is just adds on to it, just how cool it is. But enough of my soapbox that I was on for a minute. Let me step off of that. Let me ask you, it did say other wrestlers will be showing up. Besides Shayna, give me two or three wrestlers that you would like to see pop up over there.
All right. Top of the dome
on the spot.
Okay. Zoe Stark.
Tag team partner, makes sense.
Yes. Send. If they don't have a match at WrestleMania, send Sheamus.
Wow. Ooh. Sheamus would be something. Sheamus, that would blow the roof off.
For sure. And
he would have a blast too.
He would love it. And my third pick, I would say, let's go with Charlie Dempsey.
Okay. Yeah. All right. For me, you know, I love what you picked right there. I got Candice LeRae. I think she would fit into that style very easily, very well. Another guy, if he doesn't have a match at WrestleMania, which I don't think he will, and in the same vein of the of a Sheamus, not quite as big of a name, but I was going to go with a Pete Dunne.
No, I like that.
Mess around and break some limbs over there. And then I need like a, I was thinking of like an off the wall type of person. It would make no sense. And I know he's got a match, but I'd love for R-Truth to show up and think he's at, and him to think he's at WrestleMania and be asking where everybody is. The crowd would go crazy for our. Everybody loves R-Truth. If he showed up and he's like, "And I'm here at WrestleMania to win these tag titles. Where's the Miz?" Like he had that gimmick going for a while where he would show up in the middle of like contract signings, and he would say like, "And I'm gonna win the Money in the Bank ladder match." And he would just say these off the wall things. Like there was a tournament and he came, and the Miz and Kane were like, "You're not even in the tournament." And he was like, "Oh, my bad. That's on me. My fault. Y'all have a good day." Like, so those are my three, but I think R-Truth showing up just randomly in the middle of the show, thinking he's at WrestleMania, would be hilarious.
And doesn't know what the hell is going on.
Not a clue. Not a clue.
He's like, "Well, this place doesn't look like a stadium.
I don't feel safe.
I don't feel safe. Why is there blood on the mat? What is going on? Like, why am I here?
Where is little Jimmy?
Where
is
little
Jimmy? Why is little Jimmy bleeding?
Why is little Jimmy bleeding on the mat? Oh, my God. I need that for the comedy. And everybody's like, "This is supposed to be a serious event. We apologize." And then we get back to business. So I'm here for it. I love an R-Truth cameo to play into the fact that he does not know where WrestleMania is. He got lost on the way to downtown Philadelphia. I am here for that. So it's a very exciting time. WrestleMania season's taking a twist. It's going to be collabo between Bloodsport and WWE. And I hope that some of the talent we mentioned are able to make the show in a few weeks. And who would have thought that would have been the tone setter for WrestleMania weekend in Philadelphia? It's going to be a busy time on Thursday, and I'm looking forward to it. So good for Shayna Baszler, and good to everybody that's going to be able to do a little something, something if they're not on the main card for WrestleMania Saturday or Sunday.
Yeah, I think this will open the door, and like we could see this more like the Big Four. I could see them doing something like this at some SummerSlams, dropping some guys and girls off. And next year, who knows what other promotions they could mess around and play and team up with during WrestleMania weekend.
Absolutely, and that city is to be determined. And normally we know the city, you know, a year out, but I guess we will not know until maybe they run that trailer during WrestleMania weekend as to where WrestleMania 41 is going to be. I think Minneapolis put in a bid. We'll see how it goes, but hey, can you come by Atlanta? We got a pretty stadium. I know that WrestleMania many years ago sucked. I get it. Can we get a make good at the pretty stadium that you haven't been to yet? Just asking for a friend, please. I beg. Fingers crossed. Maybe we can put a bid in there too. Redid the State Farm Arena. It's nice. Come on through, WWE. Give us back a WrestleMania. Give us a show and we'll make you proud. Please, pretty please.
Yeah, I ain't got no money left. You spent it all on Kirk Cousins and his Achilles.
Oh my God. Don't even mention that to me, because when I found out they paid his Achilles $180 million, I was like, what are we doing? Like, we are barely going to get out of the NFC South. We got like Baker Mayfield got the back too, and Tampa is good. I have no faith in the Panthers, and the Saints are going to do what they're going to do, but it's basically a two-team division, and we paid this guy $180 million, a guy who doesn't win Monday Night Football games. Really? That Kirk Cousins. Good luck to us. Sincerely.
To be fair, y'all don't play on Monday Night Football, so it's not
still,
like you gotta
listen,
worry about
but when
that.
We do, but when we do,
right, true that.
He's
true
not
that.
Helping the stats, okay?
He's not helping the cause, no doubt. No doubt. You're not getting a lot of opportunities as
no.
it is. So, right, true that. No doubt.
We get one Thursday Night Football game a year because it's obligations by the NFL. Every team has to play on Thursday. We barely go to London. So the next bet is you might get an occasional Sunday Night Football game, or maybe Monday night, and Kirk Cousins does not deliver on Mondays. So I'll be chilling watching WWE on Netflix. I'm good.
Well, he plays well on Thursday, so I hope you got your prime ready.
actually, if you live locally, you can skip. Yeah, well, it's prime, but I still get to watch it for free because, like, you know, if you live in the market, you get to watch the game over the top. So,
all right, no doubt. Yeah. Local channels.
Yeah. Local channels, that's the perk. But yeah, we'll see how it goes. But you just scarred me just now, like $180 million. I can't. Therefore, we can afford a bid, okay? The city of Atlanta, y'all got the money. Bid, I beg. But speaking of my hometown, our hometown hero, Cody Rhodes cut a promo in the ring on Monday Night Raw. We wanted to sit on this until this week's show. And it was a sit-down interview with Michael Cole in the ring. And he's talking about finishing the story at WrestleMania and how his dream is to hand the championship belt to his mother, the one he has left that he can hand it to, because he can't give it to Dusty, but he can give it to his mother, Michelle. And with tears in his eyes, I felt that. He talked about his wife, Brandy, the woman that Michael Cole hired to be a ring announcer many moons ago in WWE, and how they formed a relationship. And now they're happily married, got a daughter, and they're living it up in the A. And Cody is living his dream back in WWE once again. I really loved the sit-down setting. The crowd was right there with him the entire way through. You felt the emotion. You felt the importance of why this story is so important and why I was so upset last year about how it all went down at WrestleMania in LA. But I guess things are meant to be that we get to run it back in an even bigger way at WrestleMania 40. And I have to commend WWE because they did a tremendous pivot because, you know, for whatever reason, The Rock thought that WrestleMania needed saving. But I will say that The Rock kind of revitalized this storyline, added some sauce to it via his heel turn and how he's really captivating us on social media and what he did on SmackDown, which we'll get to momentarily, but it's definitely raised a stock for Cody as well. Now, we know The Rock's popularity can sometimes be stifling for the baby face, but Cody has sustained pretty well. Big test coming up on Friday because it will be face-to-face The Rock and Cody Rhodes. So The Rock is doing another city, probably another sellout, maybe 10 sellouts in a row by the time this week is done, which is pretty impressive for WWE these days. But really nice stuff from Cody. And I am all in. We are now, as you said, in the ninth inning, Scott. Not the third, not the fifth, not the seventh inning stretch. We are in the ninth inning of this story. And I think finally in 3 weeks, we will get a conclusion, a changing of the guard, a new champion by the time WrestleMania 40 is over, Sunday night or potentially early Monday morning.
I'm going to be honest. The promo was fine, but it didn't do a lot for me. I think I'm over. The CC crying Cody. I think I'm ready. Yeah, he CC's pizza right now. I think I'm ready for, you know, I need fired up Cody. I need top tier babyface Cody. I don't need the moping, upset, you know, sad Cody. We know why you're doing this. Like, we know what the goal is. You know, I need a fired up mission statement. I don't need a somber, let me pull on your heartstrings. You've been pulling on our heartstrings for a year and a half now, bud. You know, like, we rocking with you. You've done something that baby faces have not been able to do in WWE for decades. You have kept a crowd being dominant, not losing to, you've lost three matches since you've come back to WWE. Four matches, if you include the tag team match. Four matches. And you've kept this crowd, and you've been cutting these somber promos, and you've still been able to keep the crowd. You got to start firing up, man, because maybe it's just me because the crowd's still with them, but I think I'm done with CC's pizza for right now.
Not CC's pizza, which is disgusting, by the way. Disgusting pizza, I must say. If you love CC's, I'm sorry, but they suck. Are they still in business, by the way? I haven't seen a CC's.
They are absolutely still in business. And let me tell you something. As a father of two, CC's gets the job done. Okay.
Oh my gosh.
CC's gets the job done. And you said you ain't been there in a while. The pizza is upgraded. But let me tell you, it ain't got nothing on Chuck E. Cheese pizza. Chuck E. Cheese pizza is top tier.
I will say, as a child, the pizza was hitting. But also, as a child, and I don't think the children of today will understand this or appreciate this or be horrified by this, but that mechanical fucking mouse is a nightmare. He has traumatized me and many children across America over the decades. That is facts. Undisputed. I cried. And when I got older and I went to a kid's birthday party that I knew, and that kid started bawling at the sight of Chuck E. Cheese, real thing. He will scare you to death and he will haunt your dreams. Facts.
This ain't Five Nights at Freddy. Listen, but I will say this, though. He do got a band with him now. So if you were scared of him before, he got a crew now. So I would not want to roll up on him right now. All right. But
the whole band was horrifying, Scott. The animatronic band, that squad produced nightmares. Period.
Shout out to Five Nights at Freddy.
That movie reference sticks. Yes. Chuck E. Cheese pizza is delicious. So, quick question, Scott. Favorite pizza? Discounting Chuck E. Cheese and CC's for whatever reason.
And obviously nothing local, right?
Nothing local.
Okay. Pizza Hut all day.
I used to love Pizza Hut. I love their pan pizzas.
That thick bread, boy. Mm. Ooh, when I eat that thick bread, boy, pause. But I'd be crushing that joint. Crushing it. I'll eat a whole medium.
Oh my gosh, the crispy crust, everything about it. Heavenly. On. Heavenly, heavenly. I like Papa John's.
To put an order in right now.
Yes, I like Papa John's, but Pizza Hut, the pan pizza, heavenly, heavenly, heavenly. But back to what you were saying, as we take a sidebar from pizza to now back to Cody, I will agree with you that Friday SmackDown is going to be a big test for Cody because you're face to face with The Rock. It's no Roman Reigns, it's just you and The Rock face to face, mic to mic. I think he's not going to be somber. He's not going to be crying. He's going to be locked in and he's going to talk that talk. And I think it's going to be a magical segment. I think the crying Cody thing, that's going to be done. He's going to get in The Rock's face. He talked about his mama. It's a wrap. And maybe Cody's got a message for The Rock's mama. It's going to get real personal. And I can't wait. I think it's going to be real spicy. And I kind of want the energy that he had during that press conference in Las Vegas about a month or so ago when he got in The Rock's face and told him, basically, y'all ain't cooked up nothing in 2 years. Okay. What have you cooked at the table? Not a damn thing. So I cannot wait for Cody to unleash. And I think he will cut probably a top five WWE promo of his career on Friday on SmackDown face-to-face with The Rock.
Is it face-to-face with The Rock or is it face-to-face with Roman?
Ooh. I could have sworn it was The Rock.
Well, because if it is The Rock, there's another issue. There's kind of another thing. I want to see Cody versus The Rock, but the match is Cody versus Roman. So, you know, if the face-to-face is Cody versus The Rock, this is all setting great to set up night one. We'll be doing the follow that up to set up night two, because it's not like you got a week in between. You know, you're going to give me Cody going face-to-face with The Rock, and then next week he's face-to-face with the Roman. You know, what are we doing? What's the plan here? We got 3 weeks left. We still got some time, you know, that, and I know one of those weeks is going to be nothing but video packages and fluff, which is the norm, like either the week or the 2 weeks before. But we need something big. We need that big brawl. But I need Roman and Cody to have that face off. And I need Cody to tell Roman, that's mine this time. No BS. That's mine, regardless of what happens.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did-we-just-hit-a-million-orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
All right, I have a retraction. It will be Roman and Cody next week.
But everything you said about Cody Rhodes, what he needs to do face to face, still stands. Everything you said is still spot on. It's just with Roman now. It just goes to what I said. He needs to lay that mission statement, that fire it up, and be like, "Hey, this is it. And Roman should come into it pretty cocky. I would think so. I'm not worried about you. We about to beat you night one, and then the whole family out here. What you gonna do? What you gonna do? I got the squad out here. What are you gonna do? We good. That's how Roman should come out. We good, regardless of what. We good, because you're not winning night one.
Oh, absolutely not. No. That'd be boring, wouldn't it?
Oh, The Rock is going to pin Cody. Cody's taking the loss, by the way.
Oh, yes. I totally believe that as well. Just to demoralize him the night before WrestleMania night two, for sure.
Yes, exactly.
Yes. So I stand by what I said, but hopefully it happens in the next couple of weeks. Not this week, unfortunately, but I stand by it. I don't want Cody crying anymore. It's now time to light him up on the microphone. That goes for Roman and The Rock. And that is the thing, that what is the feud heading into WrestleMania? Is it Cody and The Rock, or is it Cody and Roman? And you're right as well, saying that we need to kind of refocus, kind of reset the table, and make this about Roman and Cody, because he has to verbalize why he's going to beat him and take everything from him at WrestleMania, and then get your shots in on The Rock as well, because he did a hell of a job on social media and on SmackDown this past Friday to illustrate that point. And he was in Memphis. It was a pro Rock crowd. And that is the tricky part. This guy is so good that the fans, they love to boo him, but at the same time, they love to cheer him because he is The Rock for a reason.
Yeah, we'll get to it. And he was great. Like you say, he was great. He holds a crowd. He can fill up time. That can be a bad thing for some of the talent, but I enjoyed it.
I did too. Like, it's always fun. I do not like how he eats a lot of the time, but when he's good, he's good. And it is what it is, unfortunately. And it is WrestleMania season, and things will get better once it's over. But yeah, I appreciate him greatly. We'll get to his actions and performance in a moment, but I do want to talk about one more thing that we did not touch on for Monday Night Raw this past week, which was the Maxine Dupri storyline that has gone from online to television, with a now heelish Candice LeRae talking about Maxine Dupri, saying, "You don't belong. We're not doing reverse caterpillars on my tag team partner. You're no good. The locker room hates you. And by the way, if your dead brother was still alive, he would hate you too for what you're doing." So I'm like, what in the hell is this? And then eventually Indy boots Maxine Dupri in the face, and Candice has covered her, and she does reluctantly for the W. And we now have Maxine Dupri being bullied by an out of nowhere heel, Candice LeRae. And I'm all confuzzled by this, because I don't like how people use deceased people in storylines. It is a pet peeve of mine. I think it's really tacky. I know it's heel heat. I get it, but it still makes me very uncomfortable. And this came out of nowhere. It was random as hell. And I do appreciate the fact that WWE takes what happens online and try to add it to television for storyline effect. But the truth of the matter is this: Maxine Dupri is very charismatic. I love her personality, but she still needs a lot of fine tuning in the ring. And if you want to talk about that, just talk about that. Just not make it so personal, especially when her brother's death is not that known unless she tells the story herself. And it just felt so out of place. It was weird. And I just thought it was very tacky. And this whole segment, in a lot of ways, sucked.
Yeah, I don't have much for this. It wasn't good. The match wasn't that good. Angle wasn't that good. And the backstage bit with the Candice and with Casey and JoJo wasn't that good either. So none of it worked for me. Seeing Paramore and Casey and JoJo team up, it didn't do a lot for me.
What?
Dua Lipa, Paramore, and Casey and JoJo all in the same screen at once. Didn't do a lot for me, so I don't have much to say.
First of all, pause, timeout flag on the play challenge. Who is Paramore?
Oh, that's Candice. Candice is Haley Williams.
Oh, my God.
Candice is absolutely Haley Williams.
And you're saying Indy is Dua Lipa.
Oh, yeah. If American Ninja Warrior can be KC and JoJo all my life, okay, she, I, old Indy Hartwell could definitely be Dua Lipa. Dua Lipa. They already do the music videos in the club. All you need to do is just have Indy with the mic and we good. Tell me you can't see Candice LeRae with a mic and a band behind her.
I don't mind.
Come on.
Oh my God.
It's right there.
You're singing it. No, I can't.
It's right there.
I am taken aback because, first of all, Haley has red hair, not purple. So I was like, who are you talking about?
That's a quick change. We can do Evanescence.
No, absolutely not. Actually sing that song.
No, I can't hit that. Can't do that. It's way too high. It's out my range, out my vocal cord range.
Which reminds me, Evanescence's Bring Me to Life was the highlight of the No Way Out pay-per-view way back in 03, because it damn sure wasn't Scott Steiner and Triple H's main event. Wasn't that. Love the song choice, by the way. Pay-per-view outside of The Rock coming back sucked. And Stone Cold came back that show too, but otherwise that show sucked.
Would my Stone Cold showing up on night one or night two taking out The Rock?
That would be awesome. And I saw what happened on 316. Dan, I saw the clip of all of the sale jobs that The Rock did for the Stunner. He was ridiculous. Ridiculous.
He can't do that no more, though.
Hell no. If he did,
he might pull a hammy on the way up.
Something. He can't jump and he can't backflip. If he did that today, I would be astounded. But he was a great seller for the Stunner. No lie about that. But one more thing before we move on to NXT, unfortunately, is speaking of Paramore, we need that for Bayley's interest in WrestleMania. She wants Paramore and Triple H. Make it happen. You got the money. You pay Hayley Williams some money and have Paramore play Bayley out at WrestleMania. It is the only thing you can do to make that match with Io Sky pop even more, unless you bring Poppy to, damn it. Poppy is due a return to WWE. Vince is gone. Bring back Poppy and bring in Paramore. PNP.
I don't mind. So I'm with it.
I'm cool with it. We need this, okay? Give Bayley her damn Paramore. She's been begging for it for years. That's all I ask. And get Poppy for EO. That'd be cool too. So we've talked a lot about pizza, Paramore, Dua Lipa. Let's talk about NXT.
We can skip that.
I wish we could. NXT is not a great show, people. We've been saying that for weeks. It's not a great show. There's peaks and valleys, and right now, the valleys are valleying. It's not a great show. There are some highlights here and there, and I do want to emphasize the highlight, which was the Crips in the mud, or out the mud, whatever you want to call them, versus the LWO's Joaquin Wilde and Cruz del Toro. I enjoyed the match. Joaquin Wilde, he's reminding people how special he is. When he's on NXT, this guy be doing some crazy athletic shit, jumped off a dude's back for a dive on the outside. Like, LWO and NXT is pretty fucking cool. LWO on the main roster eats L's all day. Keep them on NXT. But I thought that was a very nice showcase match during this triple threat situation. The winner were Face, Breaker, and Corbin, the Wolf Dogs, for the NXT tag team titles at Stand and Deliver on Saturday, April 6th at Scott, not 11:30 a.m. Thank God. High noon is the new start time. High noon, 12 o'clock p.m. Eastern, 9 Pacific.
Word. Gave us 30 minutes to finish our breakfast. yeah, 3-6 Mafia versus LWO was a good match. I enjoyed it. I think LWO is they're a very good tag team, especially with that crowd. They were dead for a little bit, and then, like you said, Wild hit a move, and next thing you know, they woke right on up. And he's the highlight of that team, and I thoroughly enjoyed them. I look forward to what they do in that four-way.
Me too. He's really, really good. A standout on this show as of late. So good way to start the show, and after that, we kind of careened off a cliff until the main event angle. I want to talk about Roxanne Perez's heel promo. not the greatest.
Her speech. Which is,
her speech.
Her speech for speech meet that she had to give. Her audition for the lead role. I mean, like, I'm sorry. Go ahead. I didn't mean to cut you. I'm so sorry.
I could feel the saltiness for this segment. I totally get it because I felt the same way. It was a speech. It was a dissertation. It was like you went to debate class and let's do a debate speech to explain your case as to why you did what you did. And I thought it was high school play. I did not like it very much. And the one thing that you have to do is you have to captivate your audience. And you're at the PC and you know these crowds are fickle. You know they would turn on you on a dime. Ask Breaker about it, and now he's rebounded in the last few months. Ask Roxanne about it, who got booed by this very crowd a few months ago when she was challenging Becky Lynch for the NXT Women's Championship. And once again, when she cuts her speech, not promo, about why she did what she did and how she's owed a championship and how she's the rightful champion and not Lyra Valkyria, I saw the crowd. I saw them. I saw them silent. I saw them sitting on their hands. I saw them on their phones. I saw them not giving a damn about what Roxanne Perez was saying. And honestly, I don't blame them, because if you're not captivated by what someone is saying, you're going to tune out and you're just going to sit there and you're gonna be like, this isn't doing much for me. And it just didn't resonate. It didn't land for me whatsoever. I don't know what it is, but I just think that it did not work at all. Did not feel it. We had Ava come out there and her talking was not good either. Was not good either. So it was just a segment that was just bad. We had Wednesday Adams come out there and Tatum Paxley trying to tackle Roxanne Perez. That wasn't great either. This was just not a great segment. And I just felt as if this was a missed opportunity by Roxanne Perez to cut a killer promo, and it just fell way short of expectations. And Ava Rain, her role as GM, needs some work in terms of delivery because it is rough, and I know who her father is, and sometimes things in certain departments are not hereditary, and promos for her right now, it is not in the bloodline for her. I hate to say it, but it's true.
My feelings on this are pretty adamant. This was not good. Ava made Roxanne look like Stone Cold Steve Austin cutting a promo.
Wow.
So there's that. It was that bad. This is what a backstage sit down is for. That would have been fine in a backstage sit down with Vic. You know, actually, with Booker, that would have been fine. That would have been absolutely fine. And then you could get Booker's oh my God, stuff like, yes, that's because she would like get up and walk away at the end, and he'd be like, oh my God. So that's what it's for, though, because for in front of the crowd, and like, you don't do that. You can do some camera cuts. You can show some clips as she's talking. Like, there's ways you can do this to highlight what she's saying, because what she's saying was right. Like, what she was saying was good. The meat of it was good. It's just didn't like the delivery, didn't think it did anything for her. And I thought they had done a really good job of establishing her as a heel. So, I don't want to spend too much time on NXT. It is NXT. But yeah, this wasn't it.
It was weak sauce. I agree with you. Could have been a backstage promo with Booker T, and maybe Roxanne would have slapped Booker when it was over.
She might have, and Booker would have picked up his glass and picked up his glass. I know she did not just do that.
It would have been so much better, honestly. Like, let's do a backstage interview with Booker T, who knows Roxanne best, and let her cook. And it would have been so much better in that setting. And I know the CM Punk is down there too. I need him to help with promo class immediately, because some people need some help in that department. Real talk. If he's there, let him be a resource. Let him try to flesh out characters to see what he can do, because he has a great mind for this business. He takes a liking to a lot of the girls who loved AJ, and AJ Lee was a great talker in her day. And I think some of that is imitation. Cannot do that. You got to find your own voice in your own way. And that'll be the way to stand out in a more dynamic way on this show. And if he's there, that is a resource you need to look out, seek out, and see what he can do to help you kind of bring forth the heel within that actually has some bite to it in terms of promo and delivery and context. At the end of the day, use that resource. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, use something.
Scott's like, I am unmoved by any of this right now. Unimpressed. I do not blame you whatsoever. As we get to another promo that I felt a little bit better about, but the acting by one JC Jane bothered me greatly. Because, you know, Thea Hale figured out, oh my God, I ain't got friends. They're not there for me. I'm not cool like them. And JC deliberately cost Thea Hale the match alongside Kalani Jordan. And after the match was over, Thea cut this really emotional promo about being betrayed by who she thought was her really good friend, called her toxic, a little not a toxic attraction from way back when. And in this case, the fans were all in on Thea Hale. So for that, I thought Thea did a good job. She's back to being the old Thea Hale. And I thought that was nice. But just the non-reactions by JC, like, girl, do something besides make faces. I expected a bit more. It was kind of like one-sided. And Thea ran around the ring. I wanted her to whoop JC's ass, honestly. But hey, it was what it was. It was good because at least the fans cared about this promo versus Roxanne Perez's.
Yeah, I thought this was much better than Roxanne's. I think Thea is a pretty good promo for what her character is. Like, she's got it, and she's shown that she can cut a pretty good promo. So this was good, especially with what we saw earlier in the show. Like, this probably made it seem better than what it was. And JC's no Mandy, I can tell you that. As far as just, you know, her presence and being able to react and facials and all that stuff. So big opportunity for both of them at Stand and Deliver, which I'm assuming is going to be the destination we get to. But this was a good promo for Thea.
Definitely, definitely. And also, I want to also shout out people that do good character work. And I want to call out Ariana Grace, who I love. She is locked in on this Miss NXT pageant gimmick. She does not believe in fighting, even though she chose a career where you have to fight. But she wants to be a glamorous beauty queen who doesn't get her hands dirty very much. And she had a match against Gigi Dolan, who kicked low blow, actually. And it hurts like hell. And because of that, Ariana wins. And she now gets to pretty up Gigi Dolan. This could be some amazing, horrible television because Ariana Grace understands her character. And that is a good promo, especially backstage, because she lives exclusively in Delulu City. And I live. She is Santino's daughter through and through. She is a great character wrestler. She's got that down packed. The in-ring work has a ways to go, but personality-wise, she's a
Yeah. This was a turnoff for me. And Key, let me know if I'm wrong. Maybe I'm out of line when I say this here. Why'd she get DQ'd for low-blowing a girl?
Well, according to Gigi, she said it hurts. It hurts. Listen, if the balls hurt, so does the other region that women have.
I'm not saying it didn't hurt, but it's definitely. I'm not saying it didn't hurt. Like if somebody hit me with their arm in the stomach, that hurts. If they hit me in the leg, that's going to hurt. But that is not the same as getting kicked in your jewels. I'm just assuming.
Now, Scott, you're not a lady, so not you don't all. Know how clue. It would feel to get kicked low like that.
Nope.
That could be painful, which reminds me. Remember when Stephanie was going to call her book Lady Balls?
Yeah.
So that's probably how that felt. And speaking of that book never saw the light of day.
Well, never mind.
Listen. Yeah. Those hidden chapters.
Yeah. the whole book hidden. I guess equality, but you know, all right, that's fine. I just wanted to know. I just needed to know if it was wrong of me to say that they shouldn't have been DQ'd for that, but I guess I'm sexist.
No, you're not sexist. You just don't know the pain of what it's like to be kicked down there. Because it probably hurts.
I don't imagine women get kicked there. Yeah, I was going to say, I don't imagine women get kicked there too often to like really, you know, but guys do get kicked there because guys are dickheads.
Yes. Women can be dickheads too when you kick low.
But do you plan to do that? Like, I'm going to kick her in her vajay.
Gigi said, I got something for her. And she kicked her right into vajayjay and got DQ'd. And she said that it hurts.
All right.
She's been the recipient and she's, you know, she knows. So I'm taking her word for it. So,
all right. Well, I'm on your side on this one. So if you said it, you say it's valid, then I say it's valid too.
Dumb, but valid.
All right. If it's valid.
It's valid. I'll cop to that much. But we're moving on to some more NXT, unfortunately, as we talk about.
Oh my gosh, there's more? Seriously? We're still talking about NXT?
You know, when the people see the title, we got to go through the highs and lows, and there are a lot of lows this week. We got one more high, which we'll get to momentarily, but I do have to talk about, unfortunately, Sean Spears and Rich Holland. That happened. And Sean Spears, this character, I cannot believe I'm saying these words on this here microphone. His character work in AEW was better than this because I don't know what this broody Shakespearean shit is. I'm not feeling it. And you're trying to make something out of Rich Holland, who has the personality of a cardboard box. And I like Ridge, but nothing he does stand out to me as, oh my God, he's got next.
Yeah, not much to this. I think Sean Spears is real good in the ring, though. The match was fine.
Yes,
And I look forward to seeing him mix it up with a lot of the people in NXT. I think him and Dragunov will eventually have a really good match. Him and Breaker could have a really good match. So I do look forward to that. Character work's not there. He's no Bray Wyatt when it comes to the moody and the kind of weird promo. So it is what it is. He's trying to be the chairman. I said it when he first debuted. That's not what got him to the dance in NXT before. It's what got him sent back to NXT the second time is being the chairman. So it is what it is. He'll be a fine addition to the roster, though. I will say that. I do think he will add a lot, and he's a good veteran to have with all those young people.
Yes, he's a great worker for sure. Just the character work right now, it's a bit iffy for me. Hopefully he kind of, you know, tones it down a bit and kind of find his own voice. And I'll be a try hard right now. And that's what I'm getting from him. And you're trying to help Holland. I get it. But like I said, Holland's got to help himself too, because character work is very blase and his personality is just right now with all seriousness, but it was all right. But now our last good thing to discuss is the closing segment, which was Trick Williams coming back from a layoff. He came back last week, went after Carmelo Hayes, who was not on the show this week. And Trick basically talked about their friendship and how Carmelo basically took his kindness for weakness, how he didn't want to see Trick soar to new heights, and how all of that is going to come to a head at Stand and Deliver. And Trick had bars. The fans love this man. They were locked in for his promo. Nobody was on their phone. Nobody was sitting on their hands. They love themselves some Trick Williams. And when you can bring up Tim's and Ludus Afro and telling Carmelo to stand up and you still won't be taller than Trick, I laughed. So the guy is so good on the mic, gift for gab for days. I appreciated it. Then we get some interesting stuff from Metaphor. We got Norm Dar, we got Ora Mensa, we got Jakara Jackson, and Lash Legend. And, you know, I don't dig into people's personal lives like that unless it's presented to me and I saw them together for the Love and WWE red carpet event for Bianca Belair and Montez Ford during the Royal Rumble weekend. And I saw Lash and I saw Trick together. And I know that at one point they had other people they were seeing, dating, engaged to, or married to. I don't know what happened, but we know something's in the water at the WWE Performance Center. So when you see them together, so they're dating. So we basically have Trick acknowledge that Lash got to thank Trick, and Lash pretty much says the same. And Noam Dar wants a shot against Trick Williams next Tuesday on NXT, and that's a go. And Metaphor tries to jump Trick Williams. Trick fights back. And then we have a moment when Trick grabs Lash's hand, who tries to go for a swipe, and he grabs her, leans her back, has a handful of thigh. And in the olden days, the guy would force himself on a woman, and that would not be the greatest thing, real talk, in this day and age. But in this situation, Lash Legend was the initiator of this, and she went in for the kiss, and this crowd went insane. They went off for this lip lock, and I can tell you, yeah, the dating, the charisma and the chemistry is clearly there between these two, and they locked lips, and Trick knew what was going on, and so did Lash, and they acknowledged it, and the fight continued, and Lash had to get out the ring. She was fanning herself, was taken aback by what happened. And there was a funny segment backstage when they were trying to cool her down. And Jakar was talking about her lace front. It was too tight. What was going on? Are you okay? So we'll see where this goes, if they're actually going to acknowledge this real relationship on screen further. But I loved it. It was great sports entertainment. I was sports entertained through this. And Trick is a star, undisputed.
Yeah, the Trick promo was cool. The afterwards of Save the Last Dance was all right. But,
Not Save the Last Dance.
I'm good on it. No, you're right. You're right. That was more of a stomp the yard. Oh, go a little stomp the yard. what about a
drumline?
Drumline, best man's wedding.
Best man's wedding, yes.
You know, got a lot going on. This definitely feels like a Tyler Perry movie, though, when you're throwing all the metaphor, though. Because you know Tyler Perry always got a white boy or a white girl in the movie, too. You know what I'm saying? He always makes sure to keep a little diversity there, too. He's like, hey, I'm going to make sure I got me one, too. Don't worry, got me a token in there. Yeah, it was fine. It don't do a lot for me, but it's fine. It's a nice little detour until Mello comes back and then get back on board.
Yes. And because you mentioned Tyler Perry, got a new name for Metaphor.
Uh-oh. Here we go.
Metacopa.
Metacopa.
I'll take it. I'll let that one ride. That'll work. Best entrance in NXT, by the way.
Yes, it is by a lot. Love it, love it, love it. With Trick having best theme by far. And I need the remix with Booker T's ad-libs immediately, please. And now it's time for SmackDown, going down live from the FedEx Forum in Memphis, Tennessee. And we got ourselves The Rock. But not just The Rock. We got the final boss, apparently. We got Hollywood Rock. We got the guy that came out 21 years ago with the heel Hollywood Rock entrance. He brought it back this past Friday on SmackDown, and I popped. I love the theme song. The guitar work is ridiculous, like Jim Johnson in his bag. That was his era. And I am living for this presentation of The Rock, rocking Versace fits and melding all of his themes, from the OG theme to The Rock Says to Hollywood Rock comes down, does the Rock concert, and it was quite the concert. See, Rock is so bougie. He says, I will no longer be playing instruments. I have people for that, renowned artists who can do that for me, and I'm going to sing off of my music sheet. And he did. He had a song for Cody. He had a song for Seth. He had ribs for Becky, saying that she was more popular than her husband. And The Rock did a Ja Morant joke that popped me, pissed off Memphis, but they got back on board, went off on Cody crying about, you know, doing it for his mom and doing it for the family. And The Rock called him a crybaby bitch. And he had a message from Michelle, Cody's mom, saying at WrestleMania, I'm going to whoop your son with my weight belt with the Brahma Bull on it. I'm going to have your son's blood on my belt. And then when it's all said and done, when I whoop your son's ass in front of you, I'm going to go over there to you, Michelle. I'm going to hand my bloody belt with Cody's blood on it to you and say, here, Mama Rhodes. And then, like Maui from Moana, he's going to sing You're Welcome like the menacing bastard that he is. And he was tremendous during this segment that went half an hour. He was amazing. The Rock in this run, like, he figured it out. He didn't fight the crowd. I respect him for that, because he could have bored ahead. It could have been my way or the highway, but he pivoted. He realized, you know what? These people like Cody Rhodes. They like this guy. So let me pivot. Let me take you on a ride. And I think it's been one of the best pivots WWE has ever done. And this guy, he probably didn't expect it, but this is probably some of his best work in a really long time. And that was my concern, as we talked about on the show, Scott, that I didn't want, you know, jokey, sophomoric Rock. I wanted menacing Rock. He can be funny at times, and we are getting that. And I love it. And it's interesting how The Rock is calling himself the final boss when Roman Reigns is not around.
Yeah, this was really good. A lot of fun. I mentioned, you know, he gets people's times cut, but he's entertaining, and the crowd is fully invested in everything he has to say. He is able to turn them. He's able to get them to cheer. He's able to get them engaged. He's able to get them to do whatever he wants to do. He is a master manipulator, and it really just shows how the levels that there are, and how he is just staircases above 90% of the wrestlers nowadays, to just be able to have a crowd like that and to be able to manipulate them and play with them and have them rocking with you, clapping with you, like you said, laughing, and then flip them on a dime and then bring them right back. So I thought it was tremendous. Excellent. Excellent.
Yes, and I have to talk about the social media video he dropped, you know, right before SmackDown aired on Fox. And he gets these 8 to 10 minute promos in that he can't say on broadcast television. You can't drop F-bombs, but he can on Twitter. And this guy, I don't know how in the hell he does it, but this dude got goosebumps at the gym just cutting a promo on a phone. Like, he is locked in, and he is a meme because he's talking about the mana. It's flowing through him. You see that, and you can feel how much he's having so much fun, and he's loving this. And you can see that reflected via his promos every Friday, which is becoming a staple. And I know that guy's going to talk about 45 minutes during the next last SmackDown before WrestleMania. These have been a treat. I'm going to miss them when it's all said and done. He's utilizing social media brilliantly to say what he wants to say that he cannot say on SmackDown because of standards and practices.
You just be mad then. I mean, that's it. You just be mad. He's The Rock. He's earned that. He's the biggest name in the wrestling. Since he's in wrestling, he's the biggest name. And like, it's not like and this is no disrespect, it's not like it's Logan Paul, you know, who's been tremendous since he's come in, but it's not like he's, you know, going overtime with 40 minutes on promos and stuff. This is The Rock, you know, and let's not act like The Rock coming in, he may not have saved WrestleMania, but he absolutely patched that wound up real quick. We didn't have to put the spare tire on. We just got a quick patch. You know, we didn't have to change the tire. So he's earned that. If he wants to take a few extra minutes, and this is just me talking from the outside, completely me talking from the outside. But I mean, it's just like anybody in any job. Like, if somebody comes in who's in a higher position, they come in a different job, they're going to get more perks and more leeway than you are. That's just how it is.
Yes, it's a blessing and a curse in a lot of ways. And my one quibble about the Rock concert is that he failed to mention Cody's goofy ass dog. Where were the Pharaoh shots, Dwayne? Where were the jokes about the dog? Shithead, where was the smoke for Pharaoh? You took it off this week. Focus on Mama Rhodes. I need you to redirect to Pharaoh next week, okay? Please.
Yeah, Pharaoh just get his online so that way he can say whatever he wants.
So true, so true. As we now get to our main event of SmackDown, which was Bayley versus Dakota Kai from Damage Control. Really good match, physical. Dakota Kai is a great seller. Bayley is over with the people. And of course, the numbers game got the best of Bayley as Damage Control swarmed the ring, led to a disqualification after Bayley tried to fight off the crew. And then Naomi tries to make the save. And she came out there clean house for a bit. Loved the sell job as she basically hit Kairi Sane with a heat seeker. And Kairi's sell was just great. And Asuka got a knee strike by Naomi, but she also got beat down as well. This crowd, they wanted Bianca Belair. They wanted their home state girl to make the save. But Bianca told y'all last week, Bayley had it coming. She's done a lot of shit to me. I don't have her back. Good luck to her, though, at WrestleMania. So there was no save by Bianca Belair. It was basically a beat down. And I loved how they had her lifted up, as in Bayley. And how Io went up top and hit that moonsault. Nasty, nasty, nasty. As Damage Control stood tall to end the show with Naomi trying her best to save her girl, but it was to no avail. So we're waiting for the day that Bianca Belair begrudgingly makes the save and tries to make peace with Bayley, but it's going to be a long haul because Bayley has done a lot of shit and she's got to atone for it. But really good main event angle to end SmackDown on Friday night.
Yeah, this was well done, and I like the pacing of what we've got because now you can see the build. And Naomi came down, numbers game got her. Naomi and Bayley will have a moment next week. I can see Bianca being like, "Yeah, I don't know yet." Yeah, I'm curious to see where Jade fits into all this. Do you have Jade come in? Because you're not gonna have Jade come in and get beat down. That's what you're not gonna do. Bianca can take that beat down, you know, especially if she comes in late and she goes in 1-on-4. She can take the beat down, but then she does look like an idiot baby face, but she's at least establishing herself with that team. Or maybe you have them in the ring together, having a promo, you know, Naomi and Bayley are in the ring. Bayley has promo. She says, "I want to call Naomi out to thank her." They're talking and Naomi's like, "I got your back." Here comes Bianca out. You know, they're having a back and forth saying, "I can't trust you. We got all this." Damage Control comes out, destroys them. That's when Jay can come out at the end. Full, now you got the full squad. You got Bayley in full black magic, and the cake shop is ready for work.
Let me tell you something. Not just a cake shop, a cake bakery. Let's be quite honest. I mean, the cakes on everybody. Respectfully, cheddar biscuits for everybody. Mm-hmm. For everybody. Down the line. Beautiful, beautiful, beautiful.
Cheddar cakes. Cheddar cakes cheddar, for everybody.
Cheddar cakes for everybody. Cheddar cakes. Cheddar cakes. We've upgraded. Yes, but yes. That would be a hell of a faction. Cakes all day. And I'm here for it. Now, I did hear this theory that if it's not going to be Jade in this situation, we got to watch for Monday Night Raw because it's going to be like a last woman standing match with Nia Jax and Becky Lynch. And we cannot forget that Nia Jax was eliminated by Jade Cargill in the Women's Warrior Rumble. So will Jade navigate to Monday Night Raw, stick it to Nia Jax, and maybe that'll be a WrestleMania match? I do not know. Or does she go to SmackDown and help out the crew, Team Cakes against Damage Control? Either option works for me.
I think your best bet is to put her in that six-man tag with all those great workers. And then all she has to do is come in at the very end, hot tag, and just run wild. Nothing but power moves, tossing everybody around, just big hossing Kairi and Asuka around. I mean, that's what I would do. And you don't have to worry about her selling. You ain't got to worry about her doing nothing but coming in and kicking faces off and tossing people around and just bringing the storm.
I mean, she'll get a hell of a pop because we saw that at the Rumble, like, presence for days. She goes out there clean house. I would love to see it. Either direction works for me, but I do agree that the six-woman tag at WrestleMania, if it comes to pass, I would love that for Jade to be the cleanup person to just maul everybody, honestly, and be a powerhouse while doing it. So hopefully we see that in the next couple of weeks on SmackDown. WrestleMania is rapidly approaching. And with that, that was SmackDown on Friday. Mostly we got some tag teams set up for the six-pack challenge. I think there's like a bracket situation there. We had the LWO fall to Legado del Fantasma. We had Pretty Deadly fall to Pete Dunne and Tyler Bate. And we got some more teams fighting this Monday on Raw. You know how I feel about DIY and the Creed Brothers. I need Julius in that match at WrestleMania. Find a way, damn it. I don't know how we're going to get there, but we'll find a way. Five teams against the champs, Balor and Priest at WrestleMania, and a six-pack ladder match for the Undisputed Tag Team titles should be a lot of fun. But before we go, it's now time to pick the best damn television match we saw on WWE TV this week. So, Scott, you looked at Raw, SmackDown, and NXT. What is your pick?
For me, and this might be surprising, but I got Ricochet versus JD McDonagh. I thought that match in the gauntlet, I thought that was excellent. I thought they were just on it. Great way to start the match. I didn't think the gauntlet overall was, you know, great. I thought it was good. So if I have to choose the gauntlet, I'll go with Becky Lynch and Liv Morgan. But if I can just single out that match in the gauntlet, I'll take Ricochet and JD all day.
That was a really good match. Set the tone real nicely. You know, I felt about things being out of order for that match, but really good start. Also love Liv versus Becky as well. But I am going to go with the gauntlet match. I liked Sammy and Chad Gable at the end, like this fight for this spot at WrestleMania. You felt the crowd getting into it because, you know, it was desperate times for both guys. Two baby faces that I love very much. Not a big fan of Booker T exaggerating shit on social media this week about Sammy being upset. Oh, they didn't love me that I won this match. Like, Booker, shut up. Psh, zip it. The fans love Sami Zayn. I love Chad Gable too. And people are noting that the shoulders were not down. So maybe that will be re-explored on television heading into WrestleMania. And maybe there's a possibility. I do feel that Chad Gable's story is unfinished and he'll get there eventually. But all in all, really nice gauntlet match that ate up a good amount of time on the show. And it ended in a good way. The right person won, even though I love Chad.
Yeah. Yeah, we'll see. I mean, the match will be great, so at least we have that. But I guess Chad's daughter's not watching WrestleMania this year.
I guess not. She's traumatized. I have no desire. If you're not on the show, Dad, I'm not watching WrestleMania. I'm going to just avoid it, and I don't blame her. Maybe she can go to CeCe's Pizza to have a slice and talk about it with her dad. I don't know.
Chad would be cool at GCW.
Yeah, I dig that too. If that's an opening for him, if he's not going to have a match at WrestleMania, that is an option. So I'm here for that as well. So we'll probably find out more GCW participants for Bloodsport in the next couple of weeks heading into WrestleMania, which is going to be a time in a few weeks right here on the Fight Game Media Network. And with that, that's a wrap for the week that was in WWE. I want to thank my co-captain, my ride or die, Softy Scott Young, for joining me as always as we discuss everything WWE from this past week.
Thank you for having me, Keela. As always, it's a pleasure to chop it up and talk all things WWE. I'm excited for the coming week. Looking forward to Cody just deciding to puff his chest out and get that fire back. I look forward to seeing Becky Lynch squash Nia Jax and the online crowd just go crazy because she's burying another talent. It's going to be a great week.
Oh, my God. The accusations we're going to get on the timeline is going to be hysterical. I'm going to be all in on it, and I'm going to get my life one way or the other, depending how it's going to go. And we'll be back next Monday as we are rapidly approaching the road to WrestleMania, the end of said road, as we get ready for the biggest show of all time. So for myself and for Softy Scott Young, enjoy the week ahead. For all things WWE, Raw, SmackDown, and NXT, for myself and Salty Scott Young, have a great week, everybody. Take care, and bye-bye.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's Miro.com.